This morning we're starting a new series, just three Sundays, for the remaining three Sundays in November, where we're going to be going right back to the very beginning of the Bible, and we're going to be reading over these 3 weeks the first three chapters of the book of Genesis. So let's start at the beginning, and let's hear from the book of Genesis, chapter 1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness night. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that's what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens, and God called the space sky. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land, and the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the third day. Then God said, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth." And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth." And evening passed and morning came, marking the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals." And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I've given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he'd made, and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. May God bless his word to us.
Amen. Let's pray. Creator God, we stand amazed in your presence. Help us to understand. Help us to know you better and to understand this world that you have made. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I did think that it would be nice today to put together a PowerPoint with lots of pictures of creation in it. You know, we would have pictures of galaxies and we'd have pictures of tiny insects and we'd have pictures of all sorts of incredible things. And then I thought, I really can't be bothered. And thank you, Nigel. And if I want to spiritualize my can't be botheredness, part of me thinks that David Attenborough can do these things much better than I can. So if you want to see a really good display of God's creation, I'm sure his TV program will be on later on today and it will be amazing and jaws will drop as once again we are amazed at what God has made. The other reason I thought, well, actually, you know, it's actually better seeing God's creation live than seeing it on a screen. So have a look around, everybody. Human beings, male and female, made in the image of God. Give yourself a round of applause. You're in the image of God, yeah. I mean, who wants to see a picture of a galaxy anyway? I mean, this is the high point of all of God's creation, according to Genesis chapter 1. On Remembrance Day, we do have to admit that we're actually not very good at being that image a lot of the time, but it's still there. And of course, as believers in Jesus, we believe in him uniquely as the image of the invisible God, the one who truly reveals God to us. As it says in John's Gospel, nobody has seen God but the one and only Son, who it literally says is in the bosom of the Father. He has made him known. Or perhaps we could just make a note that as we go out from here today, we're going to be really open to seeing what God wants to show us in his creation. Here's my slightly naughty suggestion today. You know, if you find a spider in your house today, don't squish it. Don't run away from it. Just be amazed at what God makes. And if you find a spider's web in your house, as we often do, marvel at the intricacy and the skill of this little animal that's able to do this sort of thing. Our God has made an incredible creation. Go into a park and just look at the trees. Aren't they amazing at this time of year? I mean, what is it that at the point that leaves are about to drop off trees, that they just become so beautiful? And the colors become something that we notice. And it's like, if we can just hear the song, it's like God is singing to us through the beauty of what he has made. So this morning we come to this ancient text that we put right at the very front of our Bibles, Genesis chapter 1. And the world has changed since it was written. Who would have thought when the author of Genesis wrote that human beings were to fill the earth, that we would do it quite like this? Who would have thought that we would have spread out and populated and populated the world? And who would have thought that when Genesis chapter 1 tells us that as human beings, it is our job to subdue the earth, to bring the world into some sort of order, that so often we do exactly the opposite. And we realize that there is a climate crisis that's going on at the moment because of what we human beings have done, because of our greed, because we don't know where the right limits are. I was listening on the radio last night as I was coming home, and they had a meteorologist on, and they were talking about the floods in Yorkshire, and tragically, you know, there has been a death there. And the interviewer said, you know, is this due to climate change? And the answer was, well, you can never say that any specific event is due to climate change. But what we can say is that as climate change happens, these events are going to come more often, and when they come, they are going to be more severe. And although they are tragic for the people who are directly affected in this country, flooding, of course, in many countries is far worse than it is here. By the way, I this is very slightly off topic, but I think I'll mention it. I read something in a Christian publication this week that was saying, what questions should we be asking as the general election is coming along? And one of the things they were stressing was, ask a question about climate change. Show that we care about this earth. That it's not right for us to do things that take such massive risks with us, and which could, in the next sort of generation or two, be very, very serious indeed for our planet. Human beings were put here so that we could subdue the earth, not so that we could unleash its powers to destroy it. That, according to Genesis 1, is the role that God has given to us. And this text talks to the very different situation that we have in today, and it cries out to us that something must be done. You know, I was at a Christian festival a couple of years ago, and I had one of these moments where I just wanted to scream out no at the top of my voice, except I was in the open air, so it probably wouldn't have been heard much. But somebody who was like on the stage actually said, well, I don't care about climate change because I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven. We really cannot afford to take that sort of attitude. God cares about this planet. He has given human beings a big responsibility in it. God looked at us, and he made us, it says, in his image, to be like him. And we'll see more of this in Genesis chapter 2 next week. But he put us here to take care of what God has given. That's why, incidentally, it's important that we try and take care of our own bodies, because we are part of God's wonderful creation. If God has made us fearfully and wonderfully, then we should respect that and take care of ourselves. One of the things that just hits me about Genesis chapter 1 is how it raises the issues that are so important today. One of the issues that it talks about is rest. I deliberately asked for the reading to go three verses into chapter 2, because that's really the high point of chapter 1, that after God has done everything that he has done in terms of creation, God is like an artist who has done an incredible work, and he steps back and he takes a break. How much we need to hear that today. Of course, the Bible will go on to talk about the Sabbath. It will go to talk about taking time out. God took the seventh day, the Bible says, and he made it holy. He made it different. And as the Bible goes on, people try and wrestle with what that means. Now, some people want to create a whole load of lists of rules and regulations about what you can and can't do at the Sabbath, and that doesn't help anybody, and that really upset Jesus. But there's a lot of really positive things too. So Israel later is given a commandment that just as God created the world in 6 days and then took a breather, so you must take a rest one day a week. And you must, not only you must take a rest, but if you have people working for you, they must take a rest. And if you have animals working for you, they must take a rest. Because if God needs to do it, how much more do we? Now, I guess some of you are thinking, well, James, that's a great idea in theory. And I don't understand everything about what we're hearing about Asda this week, and I certainly don't want to pick out one company against others. But more and more today, people are being told, you've got to work this time, you've got to work that time, you've got to work the other time. And we've lost this sense that together we need to take a break. If we are made in God's image and God takes a break, then we should take a break. We're not here into, what is sometimes called the Protestant work ethic, the harder you work, the absolute better. And it is tough today. I don't often recommend films from the front, but if you can take the strength of the language, I would recommend the new Ken Loach film, Sorry We Missed You, which is a film about a husband and a wife who have a family, and they are both on 0 hours contracts and both being squeezed harder and harder by their employers. It's not a pleasant film at all. But it's a huge commentary on a society that has forgotten what it means to rest. Some people would want to emphasize that the world was made in 6 days. I don't think that what we have in Genesis 1 is a piece of science. I don't think it's literally telling us what happened as a scientific textbook would. In fact, Christians across the centuries have thought that it wasn't that. I'll just quote one person, Augustine of Hippo, very famous 4th century Christian theologian, arguably one of the most important Christian theologians ever, actually said that it was dangerous for ignorant Christians to talk to people who knew science, because they would say things based on this passage that would actually do a discredit to the gospel. Now, I have met Christians, and if this is you, I do respect you, although I disagree with you, who think that it's fundamental to being a Christian that you believe in a literal 6-day creation. I've also met people who have looked at the scientific evidence and said, well, if I can't believe what the evidence is telling me, then I have to walk away from faith. And happily, I have seen a couple of people who in the end came to a different understanding of Scripture. This passage is not here, I believe, to give us a scientific account. It's there to raise the issues that are going to be there in the rest of the Bible and issues that are going to be raised throughout history, including today. But there are other issues that come up in this chapter. One of them is an issue which is becoming more and more talked about and important today, which is the issue of what do we eat? Now, to use the language of today, the first human beings, according to Genesis chapter 1, were vegan. They lived at peace with the animals around them. They had a responsibility to the animals, but the animals were not there to be eaten. I think it's really interesting that there is this rise in veganism today, that some people are saying the way that we treat animals is wrong. And for some people, it's not straightforwardly about the fact we kill them and eat them, but it's about our farming practices. It's about the way that we abuse these creatures that God has given into our care. For some, it's about environmental concerns, that eating meat is much heavier on the environment than eating a plant-based diet. Now, I haven't become vegetarian or veganism, but I'm actually seriously beginning to think that people who are flagging these things up are actually saying something important to us. That we are so out of sync with this creation that God has given to us. We were not put here to exploit God's creation. We were not here to destroy it. We were here to love it. We were put here to love it and appreciate it and live with it and to bring it into a sense of order. In fact, that's what most of Genesis chapter 1, there's two things in Genesis 1, I would say, that keep coming back. One is that God brings order out of chaos. In the beginning, God creates the heavens and the earth was chaotic and there was nothing there. That's my rough translation of the opening verse of Genesis chapter 1. So there's this idea of bringing order out of chaos. So God works on his creation. He molds his creation to separate one thing from another, to make them different so that they can work together. God separates light from darkness. God separates day from night. God separates the water on the earth from the water above the earth, up in the clouds. God separates the land from the sea. So there's this idea that God creates this world where there are things which are made different but yet work together so that they work together wonderfully. Because when God creates things that are different, it's not always that straightforward. I mean, there isn't just light and darkness. There's a whole load of shade in between. There isn't just land and sea. There's tidal areas. There isn't just water below and above. There is rain and there is water vapor and there is evaporation. God takes the disorder and he brings a wonderful order to it so everything works. And then the second way, this amazing thing that God has done, God brings life. You are life, you are love, you bring light in the darkness, as we sang earlier. Life is this incredible idea of God, and he makes the plants, and he makes the fish, and he makes the animals, and he makes us. And it's his breath in our lungs. We become like all the animals, living creatures. Some translations suggest that what we are is different to the animals. It actually doesn't say that at all in the originals. We all share this wonderful gift of life together. And human beings are separated out from the rest of the creation. Just as the animals are separate from the birds and the birds are separate from the fish. And we are given this responsibility together. And God separates male from female. And if we're going to talk about issues that are important today, this whole issue of what it means to be male and what it means to be female is an issue that's being highlighted so much today. And at the risk of being controversial, in the same way that there isn't just light and dark, and there isn't just land and sea, and there isn't just water below and water above, there isn't just male and female. And this is something that we're appreciating more. Some people are outwardly one, inwardly are something else. Some of us have chromosomes different from what you would expect. Some of us have hormones that are different from what you would expect. Now, the number of people who are affected this way, I've seen estimates of anything from 1 in 60 to 1 in 5,000, depending on how you measure it and how different people have to be. But it's important to say to people, I mean, if it's 1 in 60, statistically, there's one here this morning. I mean, that's how common this is. If it is the case for you or for people you know, and there may be people you know and you don't know what's going on, if that is the case, then we have to say that they are made in God's image every bit as much as those of us who are straightforwardly male and those of us who are straightforwardly female. There are also those who are biologically appear to be one thing, but believe themselves to be somebody else, something else. And they too are made in God's image. God calls us to celebrate this incredible, diverse creation that he has made. And it says repeatedly, God looked and God saw that it was good. And at the end, when God creates human beings, God says, it was very good. Imagine you are looking at your own birth. No matter who you are, whether male, female, or not quite sure, and God looks and God sees you coming out of the womb, and he made you, and he loved you, and he looks at you, and he says, wow, that's a good job. And even those of us who think we didn't come out quite as we want to, those of us whose abilities aren't what we want them to be, God looks at us and he says, that is very good. And we believe, as Christian believers, that although the book of Genesis goes on to say that a whole load of things got spoiled, and they got spoiled really, really big time, we believe that there is a new creation. We believe that God didn't just love this world so much after he made it that he let it run, but that God and his Son came into the world. And here's what God's word says, that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. That when God raised Jesus from the dead, that he set in motion something that was going to transform everything. And that's why we're here today. We're not here out of a vague belief in God. We're here because of faith in Jesus. So we come to him and we worship him and we confess that we're not good at bearing his image. But yet we come wanting that God should teach us and train us, that we should do so far, far better. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you. You made each one of us. And you made human beings, male and female, to bear your image. Thank you for that responsibility. Thank you for that privilege. Lord, we do confess that as a human race, we have not borne that image well. We have failed in so many ways. And yet, Lord, you sent your Son for us. Lord, as we finish off our service today and do some worship and praying, and as we go out from here, teach us what it means that in some incredible way, we are like you, and we are called to share your work. Lord, have mercy upon us, we pray. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.